Welcome to the CBS edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. My name is Luke. With me today, I have Mike. Ready and excited for the world of CBS and Days of Our Lives?
As always, ready to go.
As always. Okay. Also with me, I have Jay. Welcome.
Hi, everyone.
We are going to be discussing the latest on CBS and Days News, so stay tuned. Well, it's been an interesting week. A plane crashed on Days of Our Lives. Someone died on Young and the Restless. Well, actually, a plane crashed and someone died on Days of Our Lives. Someone died on Young and the Restless. A baby was returned on Guiding Light, and As the World Turns had what might be considered by many to be a controversial Valentine's episode. And Bold and the Beautiful, well, Eric was on a ledge in his skivvies. So, let's get that one out of the way first, just because of the fact that Bold and Beautiful doesn't really have much going on, other than the fact that they have what is the poor actor who... How old is the poor actor who portrays Eric? He's got to be, what, 65?
He's got to be in his 60s, I would think.
And they have, him out standing on a ledge in boxer briefs in the middle of night. What is wrong with this picture?
Nothing. I think the guy's got a great sense of humor. If they wrote it for him and he's willing to do it, I think it's wonderful, but I think it was funny. I just couldn't stop laughing when I saw him out there.
Generation Viagra.
Oh yeah, no kidding. Now there's a title for there's a title for the episode, Generation Viagra. Jay, what are your thoughts on Donna and Eric? Do you like the pairing, or do you think it's just merely a speed bump on the way to Eric and Stephanie's reunion?
Well, I hope that Eric stays as far away from Stephanie as he possibly can. I think she's a beast, you know, love the actress, but the character has just become so inhuman in the last couple of years. And they tried to do the storyline where they told us why she's such a monster with the abusive dad, but I mean, Stephanie is just still a dinosaur roaming through the town, ripping people's heads off. But Donna, I like him and Donna. They have chemistry. It's definitely timely. He's already done it, I guess, with Brooke. But what aging patriarch, rich guy doesn't go for the younger, you know, hottie? But
the thing
wish B&B would stop with all the incestuous pairings. I mean, it's getting to be where it's just ridiculous. You know, he's with Brooke's sister. He has two children by Brooke. Brooke is with his son. And then Brooke, their son, is now kissing Taylor,
well,
the mother of his girlfriend. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is if you think about it, Ridge has slept with Brooke. Thorne has slept with Brooke. Eric has slept with Brooke.
They've all married Brooke.
They've all married her. Then you have Donna. Thorne has slept with Donna. Eric slept with Donna. I don't think Ridge has.
No, she tried.
Ridge and Thorne have both slept with Taylor. Has Eric ever slept with Taylor?
No, they kissed.
Oh, that's just wrong.
Yeah, they kissed in a moment of weakness.
See, why? I mean, of all the couples, to me, I would think that Ashley would be the one to end up with Eric, just for the simple fact that it seems more realistic.
I agree that there's not enough outside of the Forrester-Logan connection. I mean, the only thing that's really enjoyable is that you know that Stephanie's actually going to catch them, and it's going to be something that will be fun to watch when she goes on her next rampage. But other than that, I don't really like Donna and Eric together. I don't even really like Donna very much, except that she does stand up to Stephanie.
Donna is a great cliche character, but there's just something about her. Like, the whole honey bear, I think someone posted on the blog, like, I will never look at honey in the same way again. And it's like, you know, there's something to be said for that.
That's the truth.
Ugh. Well,
I remember the days when the men used to count their wives' birth control pills to see if they were, you know, not getting pregnant on purpose. Now it's the wife's counting the Viagra pills to see if he's cheating on her. So it's kind of like a role reversal there. They sure are.
You mentioned Young and the Restless. Brad and Sharon are going to be crossing over to Bold and the Beautiful from Young and the Restless to try and get Eric Forrester on board for this new company that they're building. With,
you mean Jack and Sharon, right?
Who did I say?
Brad.
I don't know where that came from. Jack and Sharon, there we go. Sorry, thank you for correcting me. They're going to be crossing over for this new company that they have going with Nick and Phyllis. Rumors have it that Victor's going to get in the way of that. Are you glad for the crossover? Are you looking forward to it, or would you just don't care?
I've always liked their crossovers, but now since half the town are played by characters that used to be on Y&R, it's just getting a little ridiculous. I mean, are they going to have little Katie Logan run into Jack and Sharon? You know, it just, I don't know. And I know, you know, I like what GH is doing with the Claudia character, but I don't know. Victoria Newman is Heather Tom. I mean, no bones about it. And I just hate that. I want all of the soap producers to realize that if they want us to see their shows as in the same universe, they have to cast people outside of daytime. Stop using actors from the same soaps if you're going to do crossovers, because it just makes it look silly, in my opinion.
I think it makes perfect sense that they would actually do that because they're starting a business. But the only person that really needs to be, and it really is more or less what I'd say is the other way around, is that Ashley needs to go back to The Young and the Restless.
Exactly.
The Victoria issue is a non-issue for me, just for the simple fact that when I started watching Young and the Restless, she was Victoria, but I was never really fond of her version of Victoria. In fact, I didn't really care for her at all, so I'm much more impressed with other versions of her. I mean, her on other shows. That having been said, I can see where old fans might...
Yeah,
enjoy.
That isn't even really an old fan issue. If you get out there on the boards, 90% of the fans, Heather Tom is Victoria Newman. The new Victoria has a middling fan base at best. I mean, and plus, it's not just the actress's fault. I think she's a lovely actress, Amelia Hindley, but they totally rewrote the character to her strengths, which is more this gothic heroine type, and Victoria lost all of her bite, all of her snark, all of what we grew up watching this character, you know, for 12, 15 years do best, which was be a junior Nikki in training, a little stuck-up witch, you know, with a heart. But now she's just this poor flower that's always wilting and broken for somebody to have to swoop up, and that's not the Victoria I think the fans really want.
Well, what do you think the fans wanted in terms of what happened with Hope this last week and her passing? Mike, any thoughts on Hope, Victor, and Victor Jr.?
I actually liked the stuff with Hope and Victor because it really kind of brought out a side of Victor that you don't see very often, which Hope has a tendency to do. Mm-hmm. But like I said before, I kind of wish that they had utilized her more to integrate her son, because now it was like this kid is thrown into the middle of something and there's not going to really be a chance to see them work it through. She dumped it on him very quickly that she was dying and that Victor was his father, so he's going to be left with a lot to deal with in a short amount of time. I was just kind of hoping that they would have stretched her existence out a little bit longer and maybe integrate her a little bit more into the story, but they didn't do that. So about bringing the Victor Jr. on is really what it was for.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, it was blatant. It was blatant in that context. I know, Jay, that you're not too happy about it. What did you think of the passing? Did they even actually show her on screen with the funeral, or was it just a matter of them returning? Because I caught part of the last Tuesday's episodes, and so I don't know if I missed stuff. But when I checked, it was just like Victor and Victor Jr. show up after the funeral, but I don't remember having seen it. Did I miss it? Or
they showed up with her on her deathbed. They actually had scenes, long scenes with Hope telling Victor Jr. And
I caught those, but today was like the funeral. They came back from the funeral. Did they actually have a funeral, or did it just show them coming back from it?
Well, he was picking out clothes for her to wear to be buried in. I don't know if they actually I don't remember seeing a funeral, but I'm not sure because I was kind of watching it while I was cleaning up. But I'm agreeing with Mike, definitely. Hope was one of Victor's three great loves, you know, the others being Ashley and Nikki. And since they can't get Ashley back right now and Nikki's, you know, run off with another toy boy, I think it would have been perfect because nothing gets Nikki's dander up than one of Victor's other wives popping back up into town. I think they could have brought her back with the kid. I probably would have made him a little younger, a teenager. He's too close in age to Nicholas and Victoria, and Nicholas and Victoria were adults almost when he was born. But I know that soaps do that all the time, but I think he would have been a perfect angry teen character. That way Hope and Vic, that, you know, maybe was being so rebellious that Hope couldn't deal with him, and that made Hope have to bring him to Genoa City. And, you know, Hope also had a great potential romance with Jack. So there was that rivalry. She and Jack were very, very good friends. But the last time Hope was in town and she got into it with Victor, she stayed at the Abbott Mansion. But well, go ahead.
I got some questions about that then, because there was a couple of observations that I made. A, does Nicholas and Victoria even know they have a sibling?
Yes, no. Yes. Oh, yeah. Victor was married to Hope, and they had the baby. You know, they were living in town. They were living at the penthouse. She was a full bona fide wife, you know, and, you know, they broke up, and she decided she didn't want her kids to turn out like Nikki's kids, basically, and she left town.
Vic mentioned he was 27, and that kind of threw me.
Exactly, because
big age.
Nicholas should be what, 30?
But you know the reason they're doing it is it's going to be Victor Jr. is going to be Victor's favored son, and it's going to be the battle of the sons. I mean, you can just see it coming. I mean, today on today's episode, I know I'm dating this episode by talking about it, but they had Nicholas basically say, "I can't." Or Nikki was trying to convince Nicholas to support his dad, to give him a call. Because of the fact that Hope died, and Nicholas refused to do it because he just couldn't put up with his dad anymore.
Vic's going to take over Nick's old job.
Oh, most definitely, and I think that it's going to become the battle of the two sons is what they're sort of setting up. I have a question for you. I know that neither of you are the biggest fans of Gloria, but I have to mention her just because of the fact that I'm sort of I'm sort of becoming intrigued about is it Will Bardwell and how – I never get the Bardwell brothers,
Jeff.
Right?
Jeff.
It's Jeff. There we go. How Jeff always seems to be one step ahead of her, and he keeps telling her that he's in love with her, but do either of you believe it? Or that he's falling for her, I should say. He didn't say love. He said he was falling for her. Do either of you believe that?
No. Well, I think he's doing it to try to control her, and if he uses love as a tool that – maybe she'll feel less guilty about doing something if he will get hurt. I don't think she really thinks that way, but I can't really figure out her motivation now anyway. I have no idea why she wants to live in the house, and I have no idea why she is doing a lot of what she's doing. She's going about this in a really difficult manner.
What do you think of his motivation, though? Because that's what's really intriguing me. Not so much her, but how
money,
he keeps...
Isn't it for him?
Well,
it's
and see, money? At first I think it was, but do either of you think that it's changing?
Yeah, I think he's intrigued by her. Lord, I know I'm going to regret saying this, but this is the first time I have enjoyed Gloria in a long time. You know, reminds me of the old days of Santa Barbara with Keith and Gina, with the people always trying to one-up each other. And, you know, Jake and Paulina on Another World. Some of the best romances have started with somebody blackmailing or conning somebody. Mm-hmm. And I really see a chemistry between them. And I think it gets his goat. He likes messing with her head. I think he's falling for her. And I really think that together they could be great, you know, grifters, schemers on the show. And I definitely know why she wants the Abbott Mansion. That symbolizes everything she ever wanted while she had these horrible husbands.
And I think she
deserves it.
Well, yeah, I mean, whether or not she deserves it, I think that you're right. There is a lot of symbolism for her. And I think that whether or not Gloria haters will agree with this, I honestly think that Gloria loved John.
Oh, yeah, I do too. I don't want Gloria... There's a difference in the way I hate Gloria. Now, I hate Sam on GH like I want her dead tomorrow. I don't want Gloria off the show. I just want Gloria punished. I want them to find out that she tampered with the cream. I want Jack to be vindicated. I want him to get Jabot back, get her out of the mansion, and have her kick to the curb, and then she can start a new scheme. You know, I like the actress and the character. I don't want her, but I think Lynn Latham loved the character so much that it became evil Jack, and Gloria's just justified in all the mess that she kept pulling, and that was where it's a little more balanced now, so I guess I can tolerate her a bit more.
That's the thing that I hated, is that they made Jack, and everybody hated Jack. You know,
yeah, and
Victor
even
hated
Nikki,
Jack, Gloria hated Jack, Nikki hated Jack, Brad hated Jack. There was nobody that
And it used to
Jack.
Just be Brad and
right.
Victor. I mean, Nikki and Jack were the best exes ever. I mean, they were best friends for years. And I just can't believe Jack running for Senate.
Let's not get entirely on this Jack love train, because I like the actor. I like the character. But he's done his fair share of things. You guys make him sound like he's a freaking saint.
He's not a saint,
no.
But everything
I know, but it's like
to protect
it's
his father.
I know,
she
but I'm just saying.
Gold-digging, scheming bitch who
well,
lied.
Okay, and
about
I will
children.
Agree with you that with you about that on Gloria, because I think that that's one of the things I love about Gloria is she is a bitch, she is scheming, she is gold digging. But when you start talking about these other people, there some of those people had legitimate reasons for being upset with him, i.e., Catherine, i.e., Jill, i.e., Nikki. There are legitimate reasons that have absolutely nothing to do with Gloria.
I really know the history of Jill Abbott. I have wanted to throw my shoe at the TV every time Jill has the audacity to preach at Jack. Jill used to make Gloria look like a little kitten. Jill has done so many stunts in that town with Jack. So her righteous indignation was really ridiculous to see.
In terms of what he did corporate-wise to Jill and Catherine when they were in charge
but
of Jabot.
What he did, not to interrupt you, but what he did all resulted from what Gloria did that we've never been able to get out.
I know.
Some sneaky things, but if Gloria had never sabotaged Jabot, he never would have had to
And
do
I'm not this. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that based in the reality in which these characters are based, Jill and Catherine had every reason to be upset with them. Whether or not that's all because of Gloria is a completely different thing. I totally can see where you guys want Gloria to get her comeuppance. I mean, and she deserves it. I mean, that's one of the – I mean, she's like Sammy. I love rooting for Sammy because she does bad things, then she gets punished for it, and then she does bad things again, and I enjoy that. I like Gloria for the exact same reason. But I'm just saying, okay,
Gloria,
yeah, you can blame it on Gloria. That's not a problem. But in the context of which these characters and the knowledge that they have – they have reasons to be upset with Jack.
Yes, they do. That's my thing. I want them to have to grovel at Jack's feet when they see that he was right all along and they were wrong to side with Gloria.
And I don't have any problem with that. I'm just saying that you guys make it sound like all these characters had no reason to be upset with Jack and that it was all Gloria's fault. Well, based on what they know, they had
being
I mean
they upset with somebody is completely different than throwing complete Jack hate all over.
Yeah, they
every
all
day.
Just
I mean,
started
I just got tired of hearing that everybody hated Jack for all this stuff that he did when none of them are really any better than Jack to begin with.
No.
That was my thing. So I don't Gloria is like I could take her or leave her and she does have her moments when she does amuse me. But and I just hate the way she's dragged Lauren down. I hate that too.
Yeah,
I wish they could just do something with Lauren, and I cannot see Lauren, the Lauren that I've watched on and off over the years, and I say that I was away from the show for a long time, but that Lauren would ever stick by her, especially when she said that it was her friend that got killed by the face cream. She would never stand by Gloria and let her get away with that for so long.
No, if Lauren would never right. have – Lauren was a good fun schemer back in the day, but she wouldn't have ever allowed all this criminal activity to keep going on and she do nothing about it. Gloria has committed all sorts of crimes with those boys. I mean, espionage, you know, all sorts of things, and Lauren will be typing in with them. I mean, it's like she's lost all, you know, her core because of the writers pimping those characters.
Chalk that up to Lynn Marie Latham. She's no longer with us, and we do not have any more time to discuss Y&R. So moving on to As the World Turns and Guiding Light, sort of a controversial Valentine's episode because of the fact that there seems to be a continued brewing uproar online over the fact that Nuke or Luke and Noah did not have a kiss, while every single other major couple who featured in the Valentine's episode did. In fact, someone went and clipped it all together on YouTube, and it's sort of an interesting clip to watch. Also, apparently someone went and contacted, this is what I read on a forum, someone went and contacted As the World Turns, and apparently the feedback they're getting is half the people don't want them to kiss and half the people want them to kiss, and so there was sort of an executive decision that's come down. What do you think of the controversy? Do you think that they should have had it? Perspective?
Of course they should have. It's ridiculous.
I mean, you mean to tell me that the powers that be has never gotten controversy over characters before? They've broken up Jack and Carly several times. They've broken up Lily and Holden several times. And you mean to tell me that they actually listen to people and decide whether they want to break them up or not? I don't think so. I don't buy that.
I guarantee that the demographic that they're really coveting are not the ones who are so appalled by two gay people kissing.
Well, see,
you know,
and I think that you and I were discussing this on Instant Messenger, Jay, but I was thinking about it. It's like, okay, As the World Turns potentially has the opportunity to hone in on the highest income demographic there is.
Right.
To be watching this show. Because basically, what As the World Turns could do is go the Bravo route. Bravo has one of the highest income level viewerships because of the fact that gays and lesbians who are tuning into Bravo shows have a lot of disposable income because most of them do not have children and most of them don't have any of the type of responsibilities that families have because of the fact, and so they don't have, they have all much more disposable income. Well, that's good for advertising dollars. So obviously, you should be able to increase your viewership in target demos if you feature this couple more prominently and give the fans what they want. Any thoughts?
What you were saying, I think that, you know, just to piggyback here, now we do know that a lot of gay and lesbians do have families. We don't want to say that they don't have family responsibilities.
I'm not saying that they are. I just said that gays and lesbians, in terms of advertising target demographics, are usually considered more high dollar because they have more disposable income, because many of them do not have families.
Right.
There are many who do, but...
And they tend to, a lot of gay people tend to have higher echelon jobs. But I just feel like, that even being said, it's ridiculous when we have baby killing after baby killing on this show and all sorts of amoral, unspeakable behavior. Who could really get an uproar over two gay people kissing? That's what I, even when they try to make it a moral issue, please, you have everything else under the sun, but it's just so amoral to see two men who are in love kiss. I think that's just ridiculous and a cop-out. But I will give As the World Turns props that they have gone further than any other, you know, daytime show in at least having a gay couple. You know, Lucas on GH came on, got beat up, and then he disappeared.
Yep. Well,
and Bianca just became the sainted,
she was written into a corner, plain and simple.
Yeah, the sainted lady.
I also think that they have a way, you know, coming in. You know, now it's what, February, that if they build their story right through the spring, they might tap into that whole youth group that might tune in. I mean, think about how many YouTube hits that one video got.
Over a million.
Right. So, I mean, it's not like nobody's paying attention. So I think they need
to capitalize
on it and move forward with it. And they could actually pull in a ton of younger viewers for the summertime, which is what the soaps aim to do.
Yeah, because that's historically when the biggest storylines launched on soaps, you know, or the youth summer stories. And I just feel like, you know, the world has changed so much. You know, I was in Barnes & Noble a couple of weeks ago, and there were this gay teen couple making out right in one of the coffee chairs. You know, here in Texas, that never would have happened 10 years ago when I was, you know, a teenager, or 12 years ago. You know, and so I think the world is a lot more accepting than the powers that be at Procter & Gamble think.
On a completely different note, did you guys notice that they have expanded the size of set for Carly and Jack's home? It used to be that whenever someone went off into the kitchen, you never ever saw the kitchen. We actually saw the kitchen this week. It was fully furnished. I'd never
seen the kitchen once before.
When was this?
I'd have to say,
because I'd never seen it before.
Maybe with Kit and Carly? They went in there to have tea or something like
okay,
that?
Okay, well, I think it's recent then.
But yeah, it's recent.
It's like last couple months, because this was the first time that I had seen it. It was like, wow, it's nice to see that they actually have a kitchen. And I couldn't believe there was a stainless steel fridge there. It's like, when is the last time you have seen a stainless steel fridge on a soap?
Uh-huh. Right.
The other big thing on As the World Turns is the court battle, or what I would consider the snooze battle. What do you guys think of Gwen and Will versus the mother?
It's relevant. I mean, it happens. I mean, there's a lot of times when people give up a child and you decide they want them back, and they end up taking it away from the adoptive. I just don't think they let it go long enough. Sophie just gave up the kid. I don't understand where Chris is all of a sudden pulled into the story. But aside from that, I think they could have dragged it out a little bit longer and made it a lot more, more investment in the character. Nobody really likes Sophie. Nobody cares about Sophie. So it's
totally
very hard to sympathize with her. And I don't think they gave it a really good long build-up to where you might have half the people thinking the mother should get her back and other half of people thinking, no, she shouldn't. She gave her up.
As I told Jay on Instant Messenger earlier this week, As the World Turns cannot do legal battles for the life of them. They need a legal consultant to come in there and write some good courtroom battle dialogue. Because if you compare it to other shows like General Hospital or maybe even Young and the Restless, those shows know how to do legal courtroom battles. As the World Turns cannot
do legal. Yeah, As the World Turns, they just use it as a plot device. It's just another motion to get from point A to point B. They don't really invest the time. They used to. Years ago, they had a lot of bombs drop in the courtroom, but they don't now. Now it's just a matter of, you know, well, we have to use this vehicle to get this to happen, so that's what we'll do. And it shows.
Any other thoughts on As the World Turns before we move on to Guiding Light?
I'm liking Katie and Brad's slow build. I think they really could be a super couple. I hate to say that as much of a Simon and Katie fan as I am. It almost makes me feel like a traitor, but I'm really, you know, I'm just really every day impressed and in awe that that's the same Austin Peck that I watched try to act for over a decade on Days. He really has come into his own.
Oh, most definitely.
What do you think of Margot just inviting that kid to stay at the house?
That is weird.
Totally out of character, wasn't it?
I'm surprised she didn't do a background check on him.
No,
that's what doesn't make sense. She's the chief of police and doesn't do a background check on some kid that's in her house?
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
Moving on to Guiding Light, we're 1 week closer to the new transformation of the show, and we're starting to see signs of it. More and more outdoor scenes, more and more real live homes, shall we say. Any thoughts on this last week with the big reveal?
Oh, man, it's been a long time since I saw some good bomb dropping on a soap. And I think having everybody in the church when Reva blurted out that Alan was the baby's father was really good. Because I like Crazy Cassie. That's really the only way I like her. I really enjoyed it.
This is the best Cassie's been in ages.
How many women are Josh and Reva's love going to drive crazy? There was Sunny, Annie, I mean, basically someone should warn any woman that wants to date Josh Lewis. Even Olivia used to be kind of normal. Don't date him. Because if you date him, he's going to still love Reva and you're going to go bonkers.
Cassie knew what she was getting into when she did it. Yeah. I have no sympathy for
Cassie. Oh, I don't have any sympathy for her either because it was her sister's husband. But, I mean, it's just funny how Guiding Light does this every time. They make the woman that Josh ends up with start foaming at the mouth before it's all said and done.
And a lot of Cassie's craziness, though, has always been motivated by the fact that Tammy was killed and that that Alan never paid for it. So everything that she done actually has always been because of that one thing. So they've actually been able to carry that through the whole story. You know what I mean? That you can always trace it back to Tammy.
Speaking of Alan, what do you think of the fact that he's back and Beth told him off about where things stood with the children and the fact that she basically told Rick that you're no different than Alan?
Yeah, that's always his motivation. Alan being the baby snatcher.
Yep, I know, it's boring.
Corporate Raider Alan was so much more interesting than Obsessed with the Kiddos Alan. I mean, it's just old. I don't think they ever should have had Alan sleep with Phillip's true love. It's just stupid. But, and Beth, I mean, okay, yeah, Beth's being the heroine here, preaching at Rick. But they ruined that when they had Beth kidnap Gus and do all the unspeakable things that, you know, this regime has had her do in the last couple of years. She can't preach at anyone anymore because she's a maniac herself.
Yeah, and she's kind of like the Brooke of this show. She sleeps around with the rich men of the family and has
that, you remember, you know,
and
you're a longtime fan. You know that that is never how she used to be. She was the Vestal Virgin, the heart of the show, you know, Phillip's little good girl. And, you know, it's like, did they do any research when they started just making her this slut, you know? Nope. And now it's like, I guess they're trying to make her more of a heroine again, but I don't know. It's like, I laugh when I see characters that I know are amoral preaching at other characters because I'm like, okay, next sweeps it'll be you or next, you know.
But, what do you, I thought Rick was great when he tore Harley a new one. He just kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting him to get really angry like that. So I think, like, you know, you see actors do stuff like this and you wonder why they hide him out in the closet and bring him out every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But he's completely underused because the way he yelled at her, it was awesome. He just did
now, this
such
was
a good
about
job.
Cyrus, about her being with Cyrus, yeah. Right?
Oh, don't even get me started. That just pisses me off to no end.
it does.
Yeah. Why those together makes no
Harley
sense.
Harley could easily have come back on him. Okay, Cyrus is a grifter and a criminal. Beth is a maniac who held Gus in a shed for weeks and let him bleed.
Before we move on to Days of Our Lives, one last question. My favorite couple on the show is obviously Busy. Jonathan has been playing a role in it. We now have this Bill, Lizzie, Jonathan semi-triangle. But with the fact that the actress who plays Ava is pregnant, it's basically sort of being assumed that the character is going to end up pregnant. In fact, I think there's actually some spoilers out there that Ava is going to be pregnant, not Lizzie, which is just absolutely mortifying to me. What do you think the impact of Bill and Ava having a kid will be on Lizzie and Bill, and do you think that this will basically doom them?
I think that's great. You know, that's the first interesting thing I've heard about Ava in a while, because some of the best soap super couples have had to overcome someone being pregnant by someone else. That's a great obstacle. That doesn't mean that, you know, Bill and Lizzie won't end up together. Cruz got someone else pregnant on Eden, and I mean, look at all the other great super couples. Bo has another child other than Hope, you know. John and Marlena have children with half the town. I mean, it doesn't – that a baby with someone else doesn't negate a couple's potential.
And I see your point. I just think that Guiding Light is on its last leg so much that they can't afford to have a sidetrack story like Ava be wasted when there could be so much potential for Busy. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I really don't like the idea, not because I disagree with Jay, but I find Ava just a useless character to begin with. And they don't know whether to make her bad or good. And if they could truly tap into her bad side, her being pregnant and trying to break up Lizzie and Bill may be something that they could pull off. But
they should turn her into a market.
They have not been able to do that. She's still a boring character no matter how you wash it. So if she turns up pregnant, it's not going to really affect what I think of her unless they change the way she's put out there on a day-to-day basis.
And while we're on
the
topic,
I agree with exactly what you said. That's kind of what I'm envisioning. It's like what Luke was saying about the show being on its last legs. When what fans really want with couples, they don't want to just see them perfectly happy. There has to be conflict. And if she was to become that kind of bitch who used her baby to get at Bill while Bill is falling in love with Lizzie and maybe Jonathan's also falling in love with Lizzie, that's great soap.
Well, but it could be. Right. It could be. Upset. I think that Guiding Light is playing a 3-year storyline game and they have 6 months to a year. They've got to accelerate some stuff, and I don't think that they really had the time to wait around for a 9-month pregnancy. That's basically just my point. Moving to Days of Our Lives, where do we even start? everybody's on a plane. The plane has crashed.
Of course, any tragedy means that Sean and Belle will have sex or have had sex. I'll tell you what. I was never the biggest John Black fan, but I am really digging John Black. His one-liners are just great. When he came in and said the thing that was the biggest shame about the plane crashing was the fact that they were going to lose the plane and it was such a nice thing, I just almost died laughing. Totally, totally loved it. What are you guys thinking of the plane crash storyline?
Well, I'm actually surprised that they got on a plane that John put together. I mean, arranged, because the whole thing was when they went over there, they just didn't trust him. They knew he'd been programmed by Stefano, so and that he had no connection to them and didn't care. So I'm kind of wondering why they just didn't fly back on a regular jet, but that's a whole other issue. I haven't really enjoyed John's return until this week. I thought it looked like the actor was actually having fun, and it kind of came through with his delivery and stuff like that. So I thought he was kind of funny, even though he did show signs of cracking, especially when he's trying to keep Steve alive. So I thought it was okay. I thought it went out a little too long. I think after about the third day, I was kind of like, all right, it's time to bring the plane down. So, because you know what was going to happen. I knew the plane was going to crash, so it was just a matter of going through all the stuff to get there. But it was okay. I mean, it was – there were some moments that were really good, like when Bo realized his father was dead. That was – I thought his reaction was awesome. I mean, he was – I just thought he did a really good
job. Was that on Tuesday's episode? Because I haven't watched Tuesday's.
That was probably last week, because I haven't watched Monday and Tuesday.
One of my favorite I can't believe I'm saying this, but besides Marlena, who I'm just loving Marlena, one of the other characters that I'm surprisingly finding myself enjoying is Chloe, who's just basically going off the deep end from Fright. I've just been enjoying it. What have you enjoyed with the storyline? What have you hated?
I love the the close scenes with Bo and Hope and Sean, and you know, with them trying to make him take the oxygen. It was really endearing. I like the conversations between Marlena and Kayla. I like the whole thing has been, I like those kind of stories where everyone's in peril and they have to really reestablish their bonds and, you know, kind of deal with what matters the most. I too am loving Psycho John Black with the crazy one-liners. I love that the little baby has wrapped herself around his heart. You know, that's the only one he really cares about right now. I can tell that someone is writing Days that knows Days again. And that's nice to see. I'm not happy that they're killing Grandpa Sean. I don't see the point. When they get to that age and that long on a show, let's keep them around for the Horton Christmas episodes. You know, I just don't see the point of killing
I didn't understand the point of killing him, too. He couldn't have been costing him that much money.
No, he doesn't. He has never been that big of a star that he's not making that much money. So they're not going to save anything by killing him off. I think it's just that was a waste. But Chloe, I'm a Chloe fan, but Chloe was getting on my nerves during this episode, these episodes. With all that hyperventilating and acting a fool.
I loved it. I couldn't help it. I just loved it. I was like, all these people are like preparing to die, and she's going, are we going to be drawing straws for who gets the air? And it was like, oh, this is awesome. I just couldn't help it.
She's an opera singer. You know, I mean, if anybody should know how to control her breathing, it's her. And there she is just.
But she's also a diva.
Like a vacuum.
I mean, she's an opera singer, therefore she's a diva.
She's a hateful little girl. She wasn't that hateful. She was awesome. She, as young as she was, you know, she should have been giving up air for somebody else instead of sitting there acting all. That Chloe made me mad.
Well, I'll ask you guys a question since you both have been watching a lot longer than I. What did you think of Chelsea talking to Victor and Caroline about how they came to be involved with each other? Did you like that little bit of history? Fast forward through
it? That's the way you connect a younger character to the show right there, is you tie them to their core. And Caroline and Victor's affair was great Days storyline. It tore up the Brady family. It gave Bo this great new dynamic. He always felt like he wasn't the good son, that he could never live up to Roman. And that kind of made him really feel like, okay, this is why, You know, I've never been able to be the good one because I'm a Kiriakis. But, you know, I think that was a good nod to the old fans, you know, because in this day of eroding viewership, they're desperate for these new fans, but they better start worrying about keeping the ones that they have too. So,
well, for me, it was great because even though I know their history or part of it, it was kind of nice to see it. They did some flashbacks, and that's always the plus of having the same people play the same characters, that they could show those kind of things from maybe 15, 20 years ago, and you can get a sense of how much somebody's changed or grown or how they're connected together. So I liked it. I thought it was good.
Speaking of Chelsea, wrapping things up here, Sean Christian is returning to Daytime. 2 Days of Our Lives. He at one time played Mike Kasnoff on As the World Turns. That was before I started watching. I'm sure Mike knows a little bit about that. But supposedly he's going to be playing a Dr. Daniel Jonas, and rumor has it that he's going to be a love interest for Chelsea. Now, I know that's one of the rumors.
A little old for Chelsea, doesn't it?
That's one of the rumors I read. I don't know if it's true. That's just one of the rumors I read. If that's true, I know, Jay, you coined the term that took off on the SoapNet message boards, snapping turtle. Any puns that you can come up with for that relationship, should it take place?
Well, I just hope he doesn't stick his finger in his mouth, because he's going to snap it right off. But I just, this guy looks so much like Rourke Cricklow and Michael T. Weiss. Why not bring him on as Mike Horton? Why some? I mean, is it like we finally realized that the rumor, I already knew it wasn't true, but your interview with Tom Racina cleared up the fact that new writers do not get any more money for new characters. So why, if Days has all of this rich history, do we need a new doctor, a new blonde-haired, blue-eyed doctor, when Mike Horton could come back and that would be something great to tie into the show? And as far
it would tie into Jeremy, if the possibility of Jeremy's coming back, that would obviously explain maybe some kind of backstory as to why Jeremy turned out to be such a jerk.
Yeah, let's play that out. In the same way I felt when I found out that, you know, my girl Tamara Braun is coming to Days, I was hoping the early rumors that she was going to be Sarah Horton would be true. Instead, no, another new character. We don't need any new characters on a 40-year soap that's in trouble. We need to get back to the basics. So I like Mike Christian. I wasn't watching it As the World Turns back then, but I
Sean Christian, by the way.
I mean, yeah, Sean Christian. But I remember the headlines. That's back when Carly stole him from Rosanna. But great soap hunk. But I question the motive of bringing him on as a new character.
On that note, be sure to send your emails to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com for any of the topics discussed in this episode or for a topic you would like to discuss in an upcoming episode. We would encourage you to visit daytimeconfidential.com for the latest in news, spoilers, rumors, and more. Be sure to join us in our forums at tvfanonline.com. Click on the forums link. That's all you have to do. Register and log in and join in chatting with the best bunch of forum posters there are. Guys, it's been fun visiting.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, definitely. Enjoyed it.
I look forward to it. Until next time, folks, we thank you for listening. So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye.